It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com. It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
This episode of Sewing Out Loud is brought to you by the Made to Measure Leggings class from SewHere.com. This online class brings ZD right into your sewing room to show you how to measure, draft, and construct a pair of leggings based on your personal measurements. Go to SewHere.com/leggings to find out more and get access to all the videos and course materials immediately. That's SewHere.com/leggings.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud.
You acted like it came out.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. Oh my God, I just found my pocket.
Where did it come from?
It was right here. Okay, so a little unconventional start to the Sewing Out Loud podcast. I'm Mallory. Oh, my God.
What was it on the side?
Mallory Donahue. Who are you?
I'm ZD Donahue. Okay, and I'm confused.
This podcast is about how to save time on making jeans, all right? And I just found a floral jeans pocket, and this will become very important later in the podcast.
Yeah. I mean, she honestly.
I just found
it. I started to sit in front of the microphone, and she's like,
No, I started having a freak out.
I thought there was a mouse.
Yeah. Nope. Yes. No mouse this time. No mouse this time. We do. You know, I mentioned last podcast cleaning out my house.
Yeah.
And there's this room that become a bit of a storage area, dumping ground thing.
Indoor landfill.
You know. And it actually wasn't that bad. You know, when I went in there and I did the work and everything, but I did not find any mouse droppings.
Mouse
and you know, every time I moved something, I thought, they're going to be here. I didn't find anything.
Well, we live in the country.
No, we live in the country. It happens. I mean, there's...
Especially if it's a year with few snakes.
Yeah.
If you have a lot of snakes, you don't have a lot of mice.
Yeah.
But if you have a lot of mice, you know there's not a lot of snakes around.
That's right. So anyway, it's not like we have like infestations, but every once in a while.
Well, I belong to this Great Dane group, and this woman's like, my dog's acting so weird, and they're like jumping up on me and all this. And I said, last time that happened to us, there was a snake in the house.
Oh, there was a snake. Okay.
Yeah. Don't you remember they were acting so weird? And I was like, what is wrong with them? And then the snake came out, and what was really funny is, snakes don't bother me. My husband goes nuts.
No, Derek and Jerry.
Yeah,
don't
the men
snakes.
The men in our family are like freaked out by snakes. So this is just like a big old black snake. I mean, it wasn't going to hurt anybody, but it crawled into the baseboard heater in the laundry room.
Oh no!
And he had to take the
casing off, like the cover off.
Yeah, he takes the whole thing off and he's like pitching it out in the front yard. I'm like, why didn't you just
It's so funny.
I said, why didn't you take the snake out? I'm not, he'll get out of there sooner or later.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, so our heater is in the front yard. Yes.
No, that's funny because I hate spiders. I'll just freely admit that they really bug me. Ha ha. And, you know, and Derek and Jerry both have kind of made fun of me about this. And then I find out that they both don't like snakes.
They're all snake
paranoid.
And I'm
like, I am fine with snakes.
Well, I don't even mind the mice. It's that they poop and pee on everything.
No, I don't want their
That's what
germs.
Bothers me. The
if they would,
damn
like, use
droppings.
The bathroom
yeah,
or something,
if they would use
fine.
The kitty litter, I wouldn't mind.
Okay, moving on. Oh, my God, you guys, well, just, okay.
We won't talk about possums.
All right. Here's the deal. Making jeans, okay, it can be a time-consuming process, and it can be a daunting process because of fitting trousers, fitting pants is always daunting.
But when you get it right.
It's so awesome. Yeah. When you get it right and when you get to make your own jeans. And then when you get used to it, it doesn't take as long. And so.
Well, like anything.
Yeah, you just get really proud of yourself.
But here's the thing.
Know?
I honestly don't think jeans take any longer to fit and get a nice look than anything else. There's something.
You're right.
I think part of it may be that everybody has had so many jeans that fit so poorly.
Right.
That they're expecting them to fit awful.
No, really, when you get a pattern and you just do a cursory search of, pattern adjustments and maybe measuring your body and stuff, you're already in a better spot than maybe going to the store. Right, Mom? Yeah.
Right, yeah.
So here's my story. I have my tub of shame or my tube of shame, as somebody miswrote on a label one time from the shop.
Remember when we had satin poopioni?
Silk poopioni.
Silk poopioni.
Silk poopioni, yes, instead of silk dupioni. Man, did we save that? I think we saved it for a while.
Yeah, we had it for years,
Yeah, that was a good sign. So anyway, I've got this tube of shame, and what was in the tube of shame is two pairs of ginger jeans that were cut out, okay? And the Kelly Anorak. So it was like a Closet Case Files tube of shame because those are all Closet Case Files patterns. And I'd made ginger jeans. This was kind of all around the time when we started the podcast and, then we decided to close the retail store and all this stuff.
And somebody got pregnant.
Well, that was after. Anyway, whatever. Okay, so my first pair of ginger jeans I made were a size 10. And those were after my first kid. And then I taught the ginger jeans class, and this was very convenient because
you were pregnant when we moved.
I know that. Okay. I'm well aware that we moved, and I had to go meet that guy at 6:30 in the morning in the pouring rain while pregnant, and help him load up 200 pounds worth of stuff in his truck. I'm very aware, but this is a different time. Okay. All right. So we still have the store. Teaching ginger jeans.
I love to hear tell that story.
Oh my God, it was terrible.
And he gets all bent out of shape.
He got his truck, so it blocked the door. So I had to run around the building to our back door. I was like, what is going on here?
You know, it's really smart.
Moving on. Okay. But it's really convenient when you teach a ginger jeans class because you get people in there of all sizes. And I had started to lose a bit of weight, and I had somebody who cut out and basted together a size 8 pair of ginger jeans. And I was like, hey, I'm going to try those on and see if they fit, without having to actually cut out and take the risk myself. And they did. And so I was like, hot darn, I didn't have to do this myself, So that
someone
was,
else made your muslin.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. It was really handy. So I did cut out a size 8 pair of ginger jeans. They were gray with blue top stitching. Loved them, wore them a bunch. And I, ironically, I had two other pairs cut out in the size 10, and I recut them down to a size 8 because I was going to make them, and I never did. And they ended up in this box, and then I got pregnant again. That's the one where we were moving, and I was pregnant. And I was like, well, I'm not going to make these jeans. I'll just save them, and other things were coming up, of course, lots of life in the leggings class and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so that's how I end up with these two pairs of size 8 ginger jeans just sitting in a box. And then
all cut out, ready to go.
Ready to go. And then the Kelly Anorak is in there too. But I decided it made me look like a cowboy, and I was into that look. So I was like, well, maybe I said on a podcast episode that I was like, I'm ready to nix this. I'm just going to not worry about it. But I had saved that size 8 pair of ginger jeans, that gray pair. And once again, so I have a baby now that's 2 years old. And once again, I'm sort of slowly losing weight, getting back down to my previous previous weight. And I was like, I'm going to try those jeans on, my sample garment, And they kind of fit. And I was like, okay, I'm ready to put the effort into making these jeans now.
Right.
I wasn't really going to throw them away ever, but I wasn't going to spend time on them if they weren't going to fit me right now. I was going to spend time on something else. So there was a black pair and a floral pair. And I thought, this black pair, I am going to do these the simplest way I can think of. I'm going to not do anything fancy. Okay. And so I'm going to do them in the way that gets the jeans made as quickly as possible you know, what can I cut out of here? And when I talk about this, I don't think this is something that a lot of people who are just starting out with jeans want to do. When someone starts out with jeans, they want to do everything. They want to put rivets in. They want to do the top stitching. They want to master all these, you know, techniques that are kind of unique to jeans. They're not ready. They're not ready to, like, let go of any of the bells and whistles. You know, because I've said
yeah,
that.
You know what I'm talking about? Right, because I didn't understand that at first, that everybody wanted to put rivets in.
Yeah, oh, well,
because I'm like, rivets tear up your furniture. Rivets tear up your car seats.
I also did not identify with that. Yeah.
No, everybody wants the rivets. And I was like, no, this is another... I want jeans without rivets.
Yeah, and I'm like, this is another chance for me to screw this up. Yeah, exactly. This is another chance for me to hammer something metal into this thing and screw it up, you know, or whatever. Because we don't have, like, a rivet setter, which would be a nice thing to maybe, like, have at some point. But anyway, so I want to tell you all.
I don't want any rivets.
You don't want any rivets. I just want the press that it'll do grommets too.
Yeah, I know.
I
do like tools.
Right? Yes.
Yeah,
okay.
I know. Okay.
So we like tools. We don't like rivets on our jeans. There are those sort of like flatter rivets that don't have.
Those are better.
That aren't like,
but
you know, nipples.
I don't want any jeans anymore. So go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. So what I decided to do. First off, a really great way to save time on jeans is to know that the size you cut out fit and to have cut them out 3 years prior. That's a really great
way to save time.
Save time on jeans. But if you hadn't cut them out 3 years prior, cutting out a whole bunch of jeans would have been good, right? Oh. What are you going to say?
Well, this girl the other day, she's not in our group, okay? She's actually an aerial person. She writes, oh, I'm so glad I discovered the rotary cutter. Oh, my God. Okay, I told her 3 years ago she needed a rotary cutter, but
so,
go ahead.
People aren't ready.
Yeah.
Okay. And with a rotary cutter, I know some people don't have room for mats sometimes.
She's just like, how do I live without that? And I'm like, oh, go ahead.
Told you so. You just have to save all your told you so's for me,
I guess.
You just have to save them for me.
Okay.
So, anyway, these jeans were already cut out. Awesome. So one thing I did was I decided I was not going to do fancy pants top stitching on my jeans. Okay, so that's elimination number one. I threaded up the
decorate pockets or what?
Nope. Yep. Right. So no decorating pockets. No contrasting top stitching. Mm-hmm. No top stitching with a heavier thread. Mm-hmm. I mean, I did top stitch things, but.
What was the thing you put all the top stitching, colored top stitching on?
It was on a dress.
It was a dress.
A short dress. Which also in my weight loss journey, I'm really excited to try that one on again soon because I think it's just going to fit a little better now. Anyway, so I went into this knowing what machines I needed to use. And so all I had threaded up was the Destiny and the serger, just the four thread serger.
Just the four thread.
Because the four thread serger was already set up for a 3TN with black thread in it. And these are the black jeans that I was starting with, okay? And so I just thought, yes, hallelujah, black thread, black metrazine thread in the top and bottom of the Destiny, and then black, you know, Madeira Aerolock serger thread over there in the serger. Because right. I have talked about how I will sometimes put together the jeans with the five thread safety stitch.
Right, which I do like.
And that is a time saver. However, I didn't want to rethread the the cover stitch machine. So that saved me a little bit of time. So what I did was I just constructed my jeans with the straight stitch on the sewing machine and then finished my seams with the serger. Okay. So that can be done in one fell swoop with the five thread safety stitch. But since I was saving so much time by not top stitching, that was nice. Because if you top stitch with a heavier thread and you only have one machine, you have to rethread your machine with the top stitching thread, because you really shouldn't construct with the top stitching thread. It is for decorative purposes. And then this also helped me in another step to just be on the Destiny, because we are very lucky in that we have two sewing machines right next to each other. We've got the Destiny and we've got the Jane over here, which is a straight stitch only machine. So I could have...
You've done lots of jeans on...
Yeah.
Jeans on Jane.
I could have, you know, had two machines set up, but I was just like, no, I'm not even gonna, you know, worry about it. So let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about other steps I eliminated. ZD, wouldn't it be cool if everyone who listened to this podcast could learn how to make perfectly fitting leggings directly from you, the leggings expert?
Well, yes, Mal. That's why we produce the Made to Measure Leggings class. I teach anyone, no matter their age, ability, or gender, to make perfectly fitting leggings based on their measurements. And if someone is feeling particularly generous, they can make leggings for anyone who they can get to stand still long enough to measure.
You, yes, you, can get immediate access to all the videos and course materials in the Made to Measure Leggings class by going to sewhere.com/leggings. This online class allows you to complete the process at your own pace, and you own it forever, so you can rewatch it as many times as you need.
Stop struggling with the leggings that roll down or sag in the wrong places. I'll be your guide as you create leggings that are made especially for you.
No matter what your equipment or skill level, ZD covers everything from measuring, drafting, cutting, and construction on a sewing machine or serger in this class. Go to sewhere.com/leggings and get started today.
Sewing out loud.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
Okay, and we're back. All right, so I went along on my business with the first thing I did on these jeans was I pressed my pockets and I did the top stitching on the top of the pockets just with normal construction thread. You know, didn't worry about anything fancy. Like you said, I didn't decorate the pockets. And I...
Well, and I want to, you know, you don't need... much decoration on this fabric anyway.
Well, that's the floral. I'm talking about the black ones. Oh, okay, so mind. I was on the black ones. Okay. So they could have been, I mean, of course, yeah, there's lots of cool something. Stuff you could do.
But the other thing about black jeans is if they don't have a lot of jeans detail, they look dressier.
Yes, they yes. do. No, mm-hmm. it really makes them a little more right. versatile.
It makes them look more like a, you know, slacks or trousers versus jeans.
Right, right. So I installed the fly. This was another area where not having to switch out the threads mm-hmm. was really handy. And there is a step in the fly process where you just finish off the edge, which was nice to just have that 3TN on the serger over there and not have to worry about the 5-thread safety stitch. So I did that, and then I put together the back of the jeans, and I put the pockets on. And then here's another time saver. I didn't do rivets on my pockets. I did bar tacks. And so this is another reason that I just threaded up the Destiny instead of threading up the Jane, because a bar tack is a zigzag stitch, right? So, and
Jane is very straight.
Jane is just a straight stitch machine. She goes real fast straight, but she does not do a zigzag. So since I was on the Destiny, I didn't have to change threads. I didn't have to change feet. Nothing like that. All I did was, you know, stitch my pockets on and then do the bar tacking. And I will say this is the first time that I've just bar tacked a back pocket on a pair of jeans. And it was a little like, I think I started in not quite the right place. Like ideally mm-hmm. I would, but you know what? Doesn't matter because this is black thread on top of black denim and no one can see it. So it was another way in which this process became very low maintenance. Okay. So black denim with black thread, even if I made a little mistake, it was not going to be
right.
a big deal at all.
It was invisible.
No.
Or obvious.
No. Same thing with the waistband. Putting that waistband on and then top stitching around the waistband, which, you know, that's top stitching that has to be done. Since I did it with black thread, if I, you know, wasn't
absolutely perfect on the corner where I turned, you know, it was fine. It was not, it's not visible. And I've worn these jeans with like my shirt tucked in, you know, it's the waistband looks just fine. Is that bar tacking looks fine. Somehow I messed up the fly a little bit. And once again, I needed to bar tack in like an extra place and it didn't matter because I was doing this black thread. So maybe one component of this is buy some black denim, because I think it would have been a little more apparent on like blue denim with blue thread. So the black denim can hide your sins if you're kind of in a hurry, which is another nice thing to have. And I cut off the zipper. I've seen people do this, you know, so my zipper was a little too long. Seen people do this multiple ways. I cut off the zippers from the top on jeans. I don't move the slide up from the bottom. I don't know if there is like a better.
Well, it works too because you have your waistband.
Yes. Right. And it's a locking zipper. That's a jean zipper is a locking zipper. So I like to cut the zippers off from the top. I find that also to be time saving. And you can see right where the seam allowance is. You know exactly where to cut. So that is something that's nice. So yes, I cut the zipper off from the top. I did all my bar tacking. And I do not wear belts ever. Like, not with jeans. Wear them with a dress.
Right.
You know, but I do not wear belts. And so I left the belt loops off completely. And well, I really left them off because I didn't cut them out 3 years ago because I don't wear belts. And these are the high-waisted gingers that are, you know, they're a tight skinny jean.
Right.
So, you know, I don't need a belt with them. I really resented it when I had to put belt loops on Derek's shorts this summer. I was like, oh, gosh, you know, I don't even wear, but I don't have to do this on my, you know, on my trousers. So anyway, leaving off the belt loops, leaving off the rivets, are going to save you a ton of time. And they're going to, the rivet thing is going to save you a lot of, what do I want to say? Headache. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, you know, really you should like practice on the rivets. You need to
anytime you have a specialty embellishment like that, it takes a lot of time.
Yes. Yes. Especially if you're not used to it.
Right.
You know, now if you are going to do rivets, and even with the bar tacking, I did hammer my thickness down a little bit. Mm-hmm. I will say that. So that is something that I did. And then I would say that one of my biggest time savers and maybe headache savers was to install a long prong snap. Instead of a jeans button.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. Yes. So I find the jeans buttons a little challenging to put on.
Well, you know, you can use a regular button on your jeans, too.
Yes, and I have done that. So you can do a regular button, which is fine. But this is where I'm kind of approaching it like someone's like, I'm going to make my first pair of jeans. They're going to be so authentic, you know?
Right.
they're going to be the jeans. And, you know, I'm going to do a buttonhole.
And see, I used to put a regular button on because the metal I would react to. So the back of that, the,
it's a flatter look, too.
Well, and the back, you know.
Would bug your skin.
Yeah. Well, right. Yeah. I what I would do is then. What, like on ready-made jeans, I take a piece of fabric and sew it
around
that.
There. Yes. Yeah. No, so I did a long prong snap, which is, I mean, it is a process of setting something in and hammering it.
Right.
Kind of like a rivet, kind of like the jeans button, except a lot easier.
You can also put a trouser slide on there, you know, a hook and eye.
Yeah. Weren't those called? Hook and bar. I was like, what is that called? That's also a really good idea.
And they have them where, you know, they're adjustable.
They're really, yes.
You know, they've got four or five slots.
Slides. Yeah. Where you can do that. So I put a long prong snap in, which went extremely well. I think part of the reason it went so well is because I didn't have thick top stitching thread on my waistband. So I wasn't worried about that. I did, you know, hammer and press down my thickness a little bit. But even though it's that hammering process where, you know, you hammer the snap in, and that can be a little intimidating, since I was doing a jeans snap, it was a big snap.
Well,
what is that?
And
like,
oh, that 24?
Yeah, size 24. Right. It was like, it's like the biggest snap.
You know, with that system, the
Snap Source.
That is almost foolproof.
It is.
It's very stable.
Okay, but I've messed it up before, so right. I just want to put that
no,
out there.
No, it can be, but it is a very stable
it's
process.
It's a very stable process. Right. It's different from the rivets in that it's a little bit bigger, and when you buy rivets, you get like a disposable sort of, you know, what do I want to say, set up for placing the rivets and all that stuff. And for the jeans button.
Uh-huh.
And the jeans button's difficult because you have to hammer down on the button and not bend it, you know, which is possible. Like, I've done it. I've done it with a lot of people. So it's possible. It's just a little bit harder. And with the snaps or snaps, it's just a little bit more of a foolproof process. Since they were so big, it was easy to center. I just hammered it down. Actually, I did mess it up a little bit. One of my prongs didn't get under my thingy, so I need to fix it. But it was that wasn't SnapSource's fault. That was my fault. So anyway, putting that snap in though was great. It also eliminated the buttonhole, which is the other big sticking point for a lot of people. Okay, so the buttonhole can be difficult for some people if their machine won't handle the thickness, or their machine gets performance anxiety after doing it well on several tests, okay? Because you have to kind of offset your buttonhole, right? It's on that waistband where there's like all that varying thickness. So you were saying, you know, you can put a normal button on. And you can. But that does include the buttonhole. Now, the trouser slide, that would be good.
Yeah.
That's a good idea, especially if you're wanting like a flatter look. Because I like to wear... I will wear a shirt
See,
tucked in jeans,
I
but I wear the
but that's
t-shirts
what I
over
don't like
too.
About the jeans button is it sticks out.
Yeah, it sticks out so much. So yeah. If you don't have to do that. You still made a pair of jeans
right.
if you did this, okay? So don't like discredit yourself or worry. I mean, I understand if you're looking for that experience of making some really, you know, quote unquote.
Oh, I don't think there's anything
authentic,
wrong with
authentic,
yeah.
you know.
Well, the other thing too is you can pick and choose which you know, features you like.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe there are people that really want that button for some reason.
Oh, sure, sure.
You know, but, and maybe there's people that really want those rivets that I don't want at all.
But
you know?
I don't know. I'm trying to think if there are any other corners I could have cut, like, with these jeans before. I mean, you know, I want to, now, I did put front pockets in them. Mm-hmm. I will say I'm not a big front pocket user.
Did you put back pockets on?
I did put the back pockets on. They were already cut out. If they,
right.
I kind of like the way they make my butt look.
That is the one thing about jeans, that the back pockets do make your butt
I think
more pleasant
it breaks
looking.
It up.
Something,
I don't,
yeah. And especially, I think, if you have like a flat butt, which I'm known to have, it just gives you something.
Yeah,
there.
I don't. I like it, and I don't. My butt is pretty. What do I want to say? Like, my butt is not a challenging butt. Like, it's not a super flat butt. It's not a super like protruding butt. The you know those silhouettes can make for like fit challenges.
See, to me, it gives me something because I don't think I have like enough butt.
Yeah, you went a little interest there.
Right.
Okay. Now, it was so convenient to have these two. Pairs of jeans cut out.
Would you like me to like cut some out for you and sneak them in your tube
of shame?
Oh my
God. Yeah, that's what you should do for me for like Christmas instead of, you know, giving me like a $50 bill. Oh yeah, cut out some garments for me. Yeah, now, it's not hard to cut them out, but anyway. So
not if you have a rotary cutter.
Not if you have a rotary cutter. But I did not. I don't know.
And you know what size you want.
Okay, the ginger jeans pattern, like, it's around here somewhere. But the pattern wasn't with these pants. Okay, because I had already cut them out.
We had a bunch of stuff hanging up.
Yeah, yeah. So it's here. But I didn't have it with the pants because they were all cut out. Like, I didn't need them. The ginger jeans, it's not like it has, like, 20 million pattern pieces that are hard to understand. Okay? You know, like... It's four leg pieces and some pocket pieces. You know what they all are without them being labeled. So I finished those black jeans. Was it like New Year's? It's like 2 days before New Year's Day. And I was like, oh, I actually made a pair of jeans in 2019, you know. And then I started on the floral ones.
2016 and 2017.
Yeah, there you go. But... I got to work on the floral ones, and I planned on doing the same thing. In fact, I was thinking that I would skip the front pockets because I'm not a big front pocket user. I will use the back pockets sometimes, but on this type of jean, they are so tight. I don't really put anything in my front pockets anyway. So I am thinking.
I find it uncomfortable to put something in my front pockets.
When it's such a tight trouser. Right. On a looser fitting trouser, a different story. But I'm like, I don't even know if I want my phone right there, you know. So I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to skip the front pockets. And did I do my fly? I think I did my fly already on the floral ones. And I had both pockets over on the ironing board. I pressed the top over. I top stitched them. And then I lost a pocket. And I could not find it.
And
until
today. But she had this one piece of scrap that almost looked like a pocket.
And
that I would keep refinding.
Yes.
Like, I would go to look for a pocket for her, and I'd like, oh my God, it's the scrap again.
Yeah, and Mom and I will alternate using the studio. So occasionally, you know, we'll text each other and say, hey, did you move this thing? Or, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I said, I've lost this pocket. And you were like, well, when were you up there last? And I was like, no, just like 2 hours ago. And so you're like, oh, it wasn't me. I was like, no, I have lost it. Or it's, I was like, was it stuck to my body? And I walked over to my house and I dropped it because, you know, I kept... I brought those.
No, you can find things in weird places.
Yes. No, I was fully, I was like, did my kid do something with it after I dropped it or something? I just could not figure out what had happened. We moved the machines.
Right.
We looked in the trash.
I even cleaned. Yeah,
we cleaned up. And I was like, gosh darn it. And I was at a standstill because I'd put together the back of the jeans. I think I've attached one of the pockets, actually, to the back of the jeans. I did my fly, but I don't want to put the jeans all together, you know, until I've got this back pocket. So I was like, ugh. So I've just been at a standstill, and I was like, now I got to go get the ginger jeans pattern out and cut out another frickin' pocket because I don't have the other pocket as a pattern piece because it's on the frickin' jeans, you know? And we sit down. This was the podcast topic, everybody. Like, already
like
decided.
Before anything happened, yes.
I was like, I just want to tell these people how to cut corners as much as possible on jeans. If you're ready, just get some jeans done. You don't want to get out your riveter or, you know, you're worried about a buttonhole. You know, there are ways to avoid it. There are ways to avoid some of the sticky things on jeans. And I sit down, and there is this crack between our machine table and, like, what is sort of a computer table. And this is where I sit to podcast. Every time we podcast.
Okay, you've podcast over that pocket for, what, 2 months now?
It's like, okay, we've got some embroidery hoops that are stored, like, vertically here. Like, it's not dirty, okay? It's not unorganized space.
But it's also white. Like,
well, that's true, white, you know.
But what I'm saying is you have sat there how many times?
Yeah, I know. And then, so I say, Mom, get over here because... You know, in between podcast episodes, Mom's over at the cutting table doing stuff.
You're repairing a zipper.
You're repairing a zipper. You're rolling up elastic. I don't know what you're doing over there. And then I sit down and I'm like, oh my gosh, this freaking pocket. So I found the
that
pocket.
That is not what she said. She went,
just started screaming.
So I thought it was a mouse.
Yeah. So we were literally going to record this podcast anyway. And I found the pocket. So I plan on cutting corners again and getting another pair of jeans. And these are, it's a white denim with a floral pattern on top. And several people, like, have been like, I have that fabric, you know. So you may have seen us talk about it in the group. And I have a Metrazine pink thread for the top stitching. It's just kind of your, I don't know.
Do you
it's like
remember
a shocking,
which thread
it's that
is?
One right there. It's
oh,
right
good.
There. It's like a shocking pink. And then I
that's
the other.
Not that shocking.
You know what I'm doing? I'm using up bobbins.
It's not nearly as shocking as, that's a way to save money. To save time.
So I didn't wind a bunch of bobbins ahead of time, which that's a time saver to do them ahead of time. But I just started using up specialty construction bobbins, like that were like red
and that's
green.
A time saver in general. Like if I am using like a white or one of my neutrals, my beige or my mauve neutral or black, say, or whatever. If I never ever just wind one of those. If I'm winding a white bobbin, I will wind two.
That's a good idea. Yeah. So instead of though winding some of this pink on here or something, I'm using up other bobbins, which I don't know, for some reason that is satisfying to me. I like to
clean it up. The
I'm like,
space.
Oh, look, I'm making a bunch of empty bobbins, you know. So that makes me happy. So my and as longtime listeners of the podcast know, if your bobbin thread's a different color, it's easier to take out your stitch, right? So it can serve a double purpose. But now I can finish my jeans.
Apparently.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. I'm pretty sure.
And you were bitching about your week.
Have I already done?
You were bitching and complaining about what a terrible week this
and
was.
And I found my
right
pocket.
Before that.
Found my pocket. It's good. It's a good time now.
And
okay.
You have sat over that pocket dozens
oh my gosh.
Of times.
We've recorded so many podcasts
since dozens.
Then. Because it was like Christmas. It's like a month ago.
Well, and how many things have we made on this machine and everything else?
Well, that's why I thought I have
swept under there.
I know. No, we've
oh, wait,
done.
What's this?
What?
Something else is down here.
No, it's the embroidery.
It's part of the embroidery thread.
Is it?
I guess.
Oh no, there. Hold on.
What is this? No, there's thread.
There's
down
like
here.
A piece of fabric.
There,
oh, and a thread. Oh, man. We have found, like, the fourth dimension
well,
down
funny.
Here.
It sits on there. It doesn't reach the floor, but
no.
It does so you can't see it.
Well,
okay.
You were all present for us discovering that there's this.
I think I'm going to have to get a pool noodle and put
this,
a little thing in there.
There's
the,
this hidey hole in
yeah.
our studio. All right, everybody. Well, thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to this.
But that's how you can.
Wait, thanks. Thanks for wasting the last 45
yes.
minutes of your life.
It's only 31 at this
oh, is
point.
It?
So I'd probably be about 30 minutes.
Well,
here.
The commercials aren't in it yet.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Sub 35, though, for sure. But I wanted to do a quick podcast on if you got jeans cut out and there's something about the process that is maybe putting a block for you mm-hmm. or you're just worried about the time. I got these jeans finished in like 2 sewing sessions. I think maybe they took me under 3 hours.
Now, I will tell you something that I do.
Uh-huh.
Especially
will
if
you tell me?
To save time and not lose my pocket or not lose my facings or like those little pieces. A lot of times when I'm cutting things out like that and I don't know that I'm going to get to sew them right away, especially, I will just pin those all together.
Okay, what if you went over to the iron and you pressed your pockets
and
then
you came back and they were gone.
Brought it to the sewing machine and then lost it right
no.
then.
And
okay.
And that happens. And that happens.
Okay,
but
so
what
you
I'm
know when
but
this...
what I'm saying is a lot of times like if I cut out those pockets, I take a straight bin and pin those 2 pockets
I'm just
together.
Telling you that wouldn't have worked in this situation, okay?
I'm just telling you.
I'm telling you, okay?
What do you think? You stitched it and laid it on the computer
yeah.
part?
So what I think happened, okay, because so what I believe happened is...
Again, we continue to waste your time.
Yes,
go ahead.
I had constructed the back of the jeans. Okay, so uh-huh. I put the yoke on and,
right,
the, and
right,
the legs.
Right.
And then I had the pockets and I took them to the ironing board and I pressed down the top edge.
Uh-huh.
And then I brought both of them over to the sewing machine.
And you top stitched
and
them.
I top stitched the top edges. And then I would have... Okay... Because the sides of this pocket are not pressed. So I did that with the other pocket. I think maybe at that point I realized I can't find the other pocket.
You probably pressed the other pocket and then couldn't find this one.
No, I think maybe I realized it before then because I thought, what my next step. So I think this fell down here right after I top stitched it.
Uh-huh.
And I was just.
Guess what?
Boom.
Guess what?
Boom.
Guess what, though, now?
What?
Now we know where to
yeah,
look.
That's right. No, you. That is a good, that is
and
a really good
I have
good
to tell you, I
thing.
Lifted that computer up. I lifted up that embroidery unit.
Yeah.
I lifted all this stuff that's on this table.
No, it is good to kind of know the pitfalls of your space.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, if I can't find something.
It might be.
It might be in this weird place where sometimes things can fall.
Right.
Like every space has, your bathroom.
I'm going to put a pool noodle lip on here.
Yeah, your bathroom has things like that. Your bedroom has
yes.
things, you know,
yes.
places where stuff can, you
right.
know, fall or your kitchen or
yeah.
whatever. And you can sometimes see that in the design of a place.
I have a story about a knife drawer at the condo. At Little
oh,
Lake.
Yeah, there you go. Or, you know, the,
right.
something can go behind a drawer.
Right.
Actually, that happened to me in my bathroom. I have this, like, rolling drawer set and I keep some kind of sharp things in it. And I was like, I should put these in a locking box. You know, it's like my razor.
Right.
But my kids, it is kind of the kid level. So I'm like, maybe I should put this up. And I was like, where did this one razor go? And it went over the
back
of the drawer. And so I was like, okay, now
I know
that.
Do you remember Bunny?
Yeah.
Or not Bunny.
Oh,
no,
Baby
it was
Bear.
The bear. Baby Bear.
Yeah.
Baby Bear disappeared one day and we found him when we redid the kitchen. He
yeah,
was
behind
a drawer. But I don't know what Baby Bear was doing, okay, in the kitchen towel drawer.
Yes. Yes. Who knows?
Someone must have put them there to... Like put him to
go
bed
to sleep
or something.
Or something.
Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, it's good. You're right, though, Mom. Now we know stuff can fall there. Okay. now we may have almost wasted 40 minutes of their time.
Okay.
Thank you.
You'll
all for
never
listening.
Get it back. We're sorry.
We hope we made the car ride or something.
Maybe you laughed
enjoyable.
Once or twice. But Mallory
hopefully
was like,
"Hopefully, you can share in finding this frickin'
disparaging
pocket.
My reputation or something."
It's my job. My
yeah.
Job.
Uh-huh.
What? There's a little dust on it. Okay. Thank you all for listening. You can get to us on Instagram. We're at SoHereCom. You can join the Self-Sewn Wardrobe group. And ZD, take it away.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit SoHere.com.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com.